Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts,
but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode, which is when we hear from you. We share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please do remember, we're not experts, just podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
We love to hear from you. So if you would like to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And just a reminder that we have a daily podcast called Here For You, which will be going on as long as this pandemic is raging. And we executive produce another podcast called Gee Thanks Just Bought It that comes out on Fridays that we also highly recommend everyone give a listen to.
And we are going to kick things off today with an email. Hi, Kate and Dori. I just wanted to say during the corona season we all are in, you two have become my new BFFs. My IRL BFF, hey, Julia, turned me on to Forever 35 a few months ago. I'm a small business owner in Seattle. Due to COVID-19 and shelter in place, I had to send my staff home. I am at work with my dog and many, many quiet hours to binge listen to the podcast. I started from the very beginning and I just listened to the last episode of 2018 and could completely relate to podcast sausage. When I started my business, I had a good grasp on my skill set, but learning about taxes, advertising, payroll, I constantly was flying by the seat of my pants. Fortunately, I had many resources to reach out to for help and advice, as well as a very supportive community. While listening to the episode, it stirred so many memories from when my shop was a baby, and I would often take two steps forward, one step back, learning a foreign skill for running a business. My shop will be 7 years old on Friday, and experiencing the complications of owning a business during the pandemic. I'm fortunate to have some savings and projects to work on while social distancing. My partner encouraged me to send a note in because I listen to this podcast almost exclusively. I come home and constantly talk about it. Thanks for bringing lighthearted banter, interesting interviews, and fun topics to my day when there are so many ways to be down about the state of the world. I wish you, your families, and the podcast listeners well during this time. Gee, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Really sweet. Shout out to your partner.
Yeah.
I love a partner that says to write into a podcast. And, you know, Dori and I guess technically, Dori, we also have a small business.
Yeah.
And it's this.
Yeah.
But we're fortunate that it is a business that is able to keep chugging along during this experience. And, you know, I've had so many friends who are small business owners, family members, acquaintances, just be totally thrown and during this time. And we see you out there. This is really hard. And,
it's really hard.
Dori mentioned on an episode of Here For You that one of her favorite small sustainable clothing lines just announced they were done. Elizabeth Suzanne.
Yeah.
It's really, really tough out there right now. So
it's so tough.
On a lighter note.
On a lighter note.
We are... Oh, no, Dory, you intro this.
No, I was just going to say, we have a voicemail that wanted to clarify some things.
Hi, Kate and Dor. I am calling from sunny South Florida. First time caller, long time listener. Had to pause the pod in the middle of my diamond painting that I do in the morning, which is really nice. Anyway, there was some dilemma about how to pronounce a company. It starts with an L. I worked for this company all through college. They do have fantastic hand cream and foot cream. If you haven't tried that, you should definitely try it. So the way you pronounce the company is Lox-E-Ton. So Lox, like bagels and Lox, bright E-E-Ton, like a dark aw. Lox-E-Ton. Okay, hope this helps. Love the pod. Thanks, bye.
Lox-E-Ton.
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 Not Loki-Tane, like I've been saying in my head for... 41 years. Lox-E-Ton. Dory, have you ever heard of diamond painting kits?
No, I have not.
Okay. Listen, do yourself a fave and give it a Google because you're essentially painting with tiny stones. It's like paint by number, but instead of using paint, you place little stones into the spots that align with their number. I'm very intrigued by this.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, are they real diamonds? I don't think so. But I'm dumb enough to believe that they might be.
Oh, wow. This looks like...
Aren't you intrigued?
It could make you... It could, like, ruin your eyesight.
I know! You're, like, literally using little tiny beads to paint, like, Starry Night. And you can do a custom... Like, it looks like you can do a painting, custom painting.
I know what story. I'm getting you for your birthday.
Is it a painting of my dog?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just let it go. I hope it's the Earth, Wind, and Fire diamond painting that I'm looking at right now on the internet. All right. Well, continuing with the theme of hand cream and hand lotion, we received another voicemail that really just warmed my heart, my 90s heart.
Hi, Kate and Dor. I was just listening to an episode where you guys were asking for hand cream recommendations, and I definitely have a favorite I wanted to share. It's by Crabtree and Evelyn, and I mean, honestly, does everyone remember how popular that was, like, in maybe the 90s? I don't know if anyone's still really shopping that, but they still exist. And they have my favorite hand cream that I loved when I was a teenager for some reason, and then we discovered about 5 years ago. It's their Gardner's Hand Therapy. It comes in a tan-colored coppery tube, and it's super thick and rich and creamy. I actually reserved this as my nighttime hand cream, and so I only use it right before bed. Oh, that's not true. I've been using it more often recently with all the hand washing, but I tend to reserve it for nighttime before bed. I've actually put on a little bit of cuticle oil beforehand, and then I put the hand cream on top, and I wake up with really moisturized hands, and I feel like if you're preventative with your hand cream approach, you can kind of stave off that dryness that is happening more often because of all the increased hand wash. Again, Crabtree and Evelyn, Gardner's Hand Therapy. I use the original formula, the original scent. Haven't tried the other ones, but that one is my favorite. So I hope that this helps, folks. And that's it. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
That was a blast from the past.
Okay, I want to do, like, honestly, Dory, I could do a whole podcast episode dedicated to Crabtree, and I say Evelyn. What do you say?
I say Evelyn.
You say Evelyn?
Mm-hmm.
Crabtree, it's Crabtree and Evelyn? This is, like, rocking my world. What?
Yeah.
This is like when I read Harry Potter and I thought Hermione's name was Hermione, and then I saw the movie and they were like, Hermione, and I was like, what? That's how it's pronounced? Hermione? I thought it was like Hermione. Okay. So first of all, Crabtree and Evelyn, that's not, that changes my life. Two, did Crabtree and Evelyn, however you want to say it, play an enormous part in your childhood?
Yeah, so there was a store in the Copley Place Mall, which, as astute listeners of Forever 35 may know, I worked in at a candy store.
Your uncle's candy store.
My uncle's candy store all through high school. And Crabtree and Evelyn was at the end of the corridor next to Neiman Marcus. I remember the store perfectly. And I would always go in there on my break. And it was like, it's just such a dream. It seemed so fancy.
So many different flavors.
It was so British. And yes, I loved it.
It was like everything was patterned in a very Laura Ashley floral mm-hmm. type of vibe. What's to me, I have the experience of going to a different mall in Massachusetts, the Chestnut Hill Mall, and going to the Crabtree and Evelyn store. I cannot say Evelyn. And so when I went on the website after this listener recommend, I was like, is this still exists? But they have very limited products and they don't have like all the scents of my child. And the packaging is now like black and brown. It's wild. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Crabtree and Evelyn of the 90s.
Yeah. Do they still have brick and mortar stores?
I do not know. I didn't get that far in my digging.
Okay.
I don't think that it looks like it's a website. They've got body, hands, face, and scent, but they have one. And my mom used to wear a perfume from here. So I like went on the website being like, can I still get Emma by Crabtree and Evelyn? Alas, you cannot. It's completely different looking. Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, maybe we're the only two people who have memories of that from our youth, but
I doubt it.
There's got to be one more.
I definitely think there's more.
There was a Crabtree and Evelyn store in every mall.
Yeah, they were huge.
Yeah. And they do make nice hand cream. So, you know, I might try this out. All right.
I think we're ready for a Crabtree and Evelyn renaissance.
Yes, except I am going to go to my grave saying Evelyn. I can't transition at 40 to saying Crabtree and Evelyn.
I know. It's a lot.
I was like, so when I heard this voicemail, I was like, I love the suggestion, but the listener's saying it wrong. Now, I know that you're saying it wrong as well. Okay. All right. Let us read this email here with some advice for a listener who was feeling sad about parting from a boyfriend. Hi, Kat and Dor. This is so exciting. I've never written in before. Love the pod. I'm a recently turned 30-year-old single woman self-isolating alone, and your podcast is getting me through each day. I wanted to respond to the person who wrote in about the ex? Boyfriend who is overseas in Japan. Listener, I feel for you. I'm recently divorced and I just got back into the dating world. I know that feeling where it seems as though you finally found someone who checks all these boxes. And when things end, you find yourself wondering, will I ever find someone who will match up to the last guy? Might I suggest a little reframe? It's awesome that you got to experience so much love from this person. They set some really beautiful standards for how you should be treated in a relationship. And what that did for you was give you some perspective of what needs to be present in any relationship you have moving forward. Are there people out there who will meet these needs for you? Yes. This person was just one example. If you do choose to move forward and end the relationship for the time being, maybe you can look back on that person and extend a little mental gratitude towards them for what they taught you about relationships. Breakups are hard under any circumstances, but I have found that looking back on my past relationships and thinking about what I learned from that person, good and bad, has helped me to move forward in the journey of finding a partner. Also, want to give a shout out to my friends, Lauren and Mary, who are also avid listeners. Love you girls and miss being in your presence. This was great.
Yeah. This is a much more articulate expression of what I was sort of trying to say. Like, I always thought, It's hard because you don't want to be like totally Pollyannish, but I think there is something of like, there is something to be said for like knowing that you can love someone that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that someone can love you that much. Like, and that it's possible.
Yes. And that you are, I think, worthy of respect and love and decency and care.
Yeah.
And kindness.
Yeah.
That we all are worthy of that, no matter who we are.
Thank you for this. email.
Yeah, that was a great perspective. And shout out to your buds. And on that note, Dory and I are going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough, enough.
I mean, Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
Well, we're back. Here we are.
We didn't go anywhere. Here we are.
We didn't.
Nope.
For being completely honest.
Nope. We just sat here and then mm-hmm. we came back. Mm-hmm. That's how we do it. Dory, you want to mm-hmm. take this email?
I would love to. Hi, Kat and Dora. Coming to you with a little SPF/moisturizer conundrum. A pickle, if you will. I've heard on your pod and elsewhere that we should use a moisturizer separately from SPF. However, most SPF has a moisturizer or, quote, lotion, including ones you recommended on the pod. This sent me into a spiral of questions, including, is lotion different than moisturizer? Do I just layer another moisturizer on top of the SPF one or underneath it? Ugh! I know what's most important is that I'm wearing SPF, but I want to get the right hydration to my skin, too.
Okay. So, my understanding is that lotion and moisturizer are technically different and that lotion is like lighter. Moisturizer tends to be on the thicker side. Do you know of this story?
No.
Okay. That's like of Googling, like what is the difference? I mean, sure. I think they're fairly interchangeable, but yes, if you wanted to like pick it apart, I'm sure there are slight differences. Again, we aren't derms. We're just two gals, but
we are.
It is my understanding that you do want to use a separate SPF because I believe when it is within a moisturizer or a lotion, like a face cream that comes with SPF, whatnot, oftentimes the SPF is not as high. And I believe the idea is that it's slightly diluted because it's in that other moisturizer. So what I do, what I have been advised to do, and what I think, listen, again, consult your dermatologist or a medical profesh, but Kate Spencer does, is I put on my moisturizer and then I put on SPF, and SPF is the last step of mm-hmm. your skincare, and SPF comes before your makeup.
Yep.
That is how I understand it. Dory, do you do anything differently here?
No, that's what I do. But I also just want to mention that you can also layer on a setting spray with SPF if you put on makeup.
Kula makes a really nice one, actually.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, I did do a little Googling, and the website birdie.com had kind of an interesting, like, ask a dermatologist, are moisturizers with SPF actually effective article? So I'll link to that here just so you have something else to read. I think the most important thing is that you have some SPF on your face.
Totally. Yes.
So no matter what, you're doing great.
Yeah.
So stay at it there, listener. All right.
Okay. We're going to switch gears and we're going to get a voicemail from a listener who had a response to the listener who wrote in about toxic friends.
Toxic friends.
Hi, Kat and Dor. I was calling in response to the caller who, or the listener who was talking about the toxic friend in Mini 104. I've had this happen twice in my life. Once was in college and once was like in my mid-20s with one toxic person who kind of ruined a group of friends. And what happened both times was that once one person decided they weren't going to deal with this person anymore, everybody else was on board. And it just kind of took one person standing up to them. And one time that was me, and one time that was someone else. And everyone else was just kind of like, yeah, like, I don't want to be dealing with them either. So I don't know if that would happen, but I think that we don't have to get stuck with these people in our lives, and maybe it's worth the risk. Both times for me, I was able to maintain the friendships that I did want, and I'm no longer part of the toxic relationship. So hope that helps, and good luck to our listener. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. Have you ever dealt with a toxic friend in a friend group?
Yes. So, well, sort of. I haven't really been someone who has like large groups of friends.
You're a one-on-oner, kind of?
More one-on-oner, or like a three a threesome, if you will. Mm-hmm. I stopped being friends with someone who I had like previously been in a kind of group of three with, but by the time we stopped being friends, we weren't really as close anymore. And then interestingly, I also later stopped being friends with the third person in that threesome. So maybe like there was something toxic about that whole combination. No, I mean, that's kind of been, I haven't ever really been in like a really tight group of friends like that, where like those are we're each other's not only friends but like best friends.
I have. That tends to be more my friend style, I think, and this has happened a couple times in my life. And it is, I do find like once one person kind of takes a stand, other people join in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the original listener's feeling of not being alone in this situation, you know, having to be the first is very scary, but it might prove to be a fruitful approach. I did want to share a book recommendation. My oldest daughter really loves the graphic novels, Real Friends and Best Friends by Shannon Hale. And recently she asked me to read them. And I was like, okay. And I don't know why exactly she loves them. So maybe that's why, maybe she wanted me to kind of understand some of the challenges in her life. But it's about this woman's experience as a kid and a tween and a teenager with friends. But it's so universally relatable in so many ways. And I love them as an adult, and they were very easy to breathe through. So I don't know. I just thought that might be an interesting read for people. They're really great.
I love that.
Well, thank you, Dory.
You are welcome.
All right, Dory, you want to take this email here?
Sure. Hi, Kat and Dory. Thank you so much for your podcast. I have a question about finding meaning in your career. I'm 30 years old and feel like I've never truly, quote, loved any of my jobs. Right now, I'm so grateful to even have a job, but the pandemic has also made me think about how I can find more meaning and purpose in my job, since it's a major part of my days. When did you find meaning and purpose in your careers? Is it a question of patience and time? Am I doing something wrong?
This is a deep question.
It is.
You go ahead.
Well, I just immediately thought of Ask Polly, the advice column that Heather Haverleski writes for The Cut, because she has tackled this question several times. And she always has such amazing answers to it. So I'm going to pass the buck a little bit and link to a couple of her columns. But I just want to say that, like, this is normal. This is totally normal, like completely normal.
Yes. And one thing that I do think that finding meaning in your job is important, and purpose, but also sometimes I think that we can get too invested in this. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes a job is a means to an end. It's like, this is the paycheck and that's it. And meaning and purpose come from other parts of your life. And I think that change, like, it fluctuates throughout one's career, right? Like, some jobs you may find deep meaning and purpose in it. Others you may not. Mm-hmm. I would say, open up your questioning to other parts of your life, because if you're finding those things in other areas, I would say then that is enough. But if you're feeling like it is not enough for you, then that might be a time for deeper digging in terms of like, what is your career? How can your job provide these things for you? Is it a different company, a different role, a different line of work that is similar to what you were doing? Is it a completely different career change?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you find meaning and purpose in your career, Dory? Was that ever a thing for you?
Meaning and purpose. Yeah. I mean, I think I found it probably sometime in my early 30s, late 20s, early 30s, maybe. I don't know. Like, yeah, I think I felt like I found it then. I feel like, I don't know, purpose is like a little different than meaning. I definitely felt like as a journalist, I had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But did I personally find it meaningful? Like, not always. I find what we do now to be a lot more meaningful.
Same.
I mean, I find that this job is the most meaningful job I've ever had. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I got this job when I was 40. And I think it was only because I had had so many other jobs that I was able to almost like design a job that was exactly the right job for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one that I could find meaning in, because that is important.
I also think like the job I was doing, you know, I worked at VH1 for many years, and for a long time, that job had a ton. I felt like I had a great purpose. Like, it was providing funny, witty commentary on entertainment and celebrity. And then that started to not feel like it had a purpose for me anymore. You know what I mean? And
yep.
So to me, these things are so fluid, and it's going to, it might change for you. You know, like when my mom died, I almost became a social worker, because what I thought I wanted my career to be was like, what is the point of it? And then I kind of came back to it. So, it's fluid is my very vague answer. / read Dear Polly.
All right, let's take another break.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient, because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets. So they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture, from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay, we're back.
We are. Again, we didn't go anywhere.
No, we didn't.
All right. Here's a cool recommendation from a listener. Hey, Kate and Dory, I'm a school social worker and have been busy learning how to do my job remotely while also watching a surge of needs emerge in the families I work with and care so deeply about due to coronavirus. Your podcast helps me lighten my mood every day when I put work aside to have lunch or walk my dog. I love listening to your most recent show and how we can still embrace hygge even as summer approaches. Did we talk about this on here or on Here For You? I cannot remember. Is this a Forever 35 topic or a Here For You topic? When were we shouting about hygge, Dory?
I remember talking about it the other day.
So maybe they all blur. Everything blurs. We're going to leave this here. I am a huge fan of hygge and also a minimalist. At one point, my husband bought me a book on hygge when he thought I was throwing out one too many items and wanted me to chill, buy a scarf, and light a candle. Speaking of candles, I, like both of you, have been taking great comfort in lighting my fancy candles these days. Only problem is I am using them so often and I am left with all of their jars standing empty. While I try and use them as planters, cleaning supply holders, etc., I can't help but think of the environmental impact of this candle lighting hobby of mine. Anyways, I discovered a company in my hometown of Portland, Maine that accepts old candle jars and will refill them with a custom scent using environmentally friendly ingredients. I love this concept and am not thrifty enough to make candles on my own, so I'm very happy to have found this company. It also provided me with excellent quarantine activity where I spent an evening locating empty jars around my house, rinsing them, and sending them to my hometown for their second life. The name of the company is called Near and Native, and I just thought your listeners should know about their excellent candle work. I have not yet received my candles back from them, but it is providing me with something to look forward to and a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. I thought this was cool.
Yeah.
And they make a ton of candles and they do ship.
I'm going to order some from them.
I know. And you know what? Shout out to Portland, Maine. I went to college not far from Portland and it is Portland. A lovely city. I almost called it a town. But this, you know, this is an interesting topic because you are kind of left with a lot of candle jars when the candles are done.
Totally, yeah, totally.
And I know, like, sometimes the cool thing to do is use them as, like, makeup brush holders. But I imagine most... You've never seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you have a fancy candle and then you keep the jar with the sticker on it, you've never seen, like, a diptyque candle you having a second life as, like,
No, but I like that idea.
I mean, it does happen, but, you know, not like I'm not using every cozy night's candle as a jar now. So I hadn't thought about this. Anyway, yeah. Intriguing. All right, Dory, we've got one final voicemail.
We do. Let me just get it up here.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I am calling because I am just really upset right now at the situation with COVID-19, and I'm just struggling with dealing with my future in-laws. I had to cancel my wedding with my fiance, and it's been really difficult. But just on top of that, my in-laws decided to sell their home in the middle of the pandemic and instead of moving to a rental apartment that they had found in their hometown, they decided to go all the way to their vacation home, and which is halfway across the country on the East Coast and from where they are. And I don't know, I'm just very upset that they're doing this. Most of all, it's happened because they really just see this as a vacation. They're just like, you know, moving their expensive cars around with the help of some of my fiance's brothers. I don't know. This is just a very difficult conversation that I don't know we might need to have with them, but that we've already had with them. It makes me upset that they're the privilege is really showing and that they're not really taking this seriously. Right now, I'm just dealing with extreme anxiety and honestly depression for the first time in my life. And I'm trying really hard to keep up with COVID-19 laws and regulations and all the things that we need to do and staying at home. But they're really just breaking all the rules, and I'm concerned about them, and I'm really upset at how much privilege they have and how they're really misusing it by doing this what I consider awful thing, because this isn't a vacation. This is actually something that's very serious, and we should be taking it seriously. So, I don't know. I know this is a long rant, but thank you so much for everything that you do in the podcast, and thank you so much for helping us out during this time. Thank you.
Oh, this is so tough.
In-laws. You know, sweet listener, I would just focus on your own grief about your wedding, which I think you're experiencing, and it sounds like your frustration and sadness and is being exacerbated by the way your in-laws are kind of not flaunting, what's the word? Like disregarding the things that you are following. And because you are trying to follow the guidelines, you canceled your wedding and they're moving across country and moving cars and thinking, and that's got to just kind of make it all feel a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also you cannot control them or their actions. Right. And I think setting up some boundaries so that their actions have less of an impact on your well-being might be key.
Yeah.
This is hard with in-laws. Very hard.
Yeah. I think this falls into the, you can only control the things that you can control category.
Yeah. You cannot control their behavior, and it doesn't mean you have to condone it or hide your opinions. But I think they are probably not going to change what they are doing.
Yeah.
And it is really hard right now to be in a space where, like, it's not, there's no, like, clear set of guidelines. So, you know, people are interpreting guidelines and rules as they will, you know, and that mm-hmm. can be very frustrating at times. And I'm sorry that you've had to put your wedding on hold. That's really hard.
That's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Any tips for talking to in-laws about this stuff, listeners?
Yeah, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is so hard.
Ugh. It's tricky, man. Well, Dory.
Yes, Kate.
Here we are again.
Indeed.
At the end of a mini episode. It has been a pleasure.
It truly has.
And listeners, please do call and email. We really appreciate it.
We do.
And
we'll talk to you soon.
We will.
Bye.
Bye.